hello, my name is Celia Munster, and I'm going to read Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman came to town one bright, cold winter day. The first real snowman of the winter had fallen the night before. In the morning, out came the children, and they started to roll snowballs. Round and round the snowy yard, they rolled the snowballs. Soon they had two fine big ones. Round and round the yard again, there was a smaller snowball, just the right size for a snowman's head. Billy and Sally found a broom and propped it up against the snowman. Tommy ran home and brought back an old scarf for the snowman to wear around his neck. Joe found two big buttons for the front of the snowman. "Now we need a hat," said Sally, so all the children went off to see what they could find. Sally found an old cap, but it didn't look just right. Billy found a bladder felt hat, but it still didn't seem right. Just then, down the street came the whistling wind. It blew a shiny top hat to their feet. "Just what we need," cried Sally. "It's like magic," said Tommy. Tommy picked up the shiny top hat and put it on the snowman's head. Sing! Tommy's hand sprang back with shock. "It is magic," he gasped. "So it is," said a deep, tickling voice children had never heard before. "And a pleasant sort of magic, if I do say myself." "It's the snowman," whispered Sally, and so it was. "Frosty Snowman at your service," he said. And that was how Frosty the Snowman came to life. If you never had a snowman for a friend, you can't begin to imagine all those fun the children had. Frosty took them sledding and never had their sleds go too swiftly and so far. Frosty helped them build a snow house and never had the blocks packed so firmly and so well. Then Frosty and the children all went ice skating. The magical part was that while they were with Frosty, the children could stay out and play in the snow and never get shivery cold. Was it Frosty's warm heart or his magical smile? Whatever it was, the children thought it was fine. Each morning when the children came out to play, Frosty had a wonderful plan all set. One morning he said, "Let's go shopping today. I've never seen a store, you know." So they all joined hands and away they skipped off toward town. It was fun showing Frosty around. He thought every window was wonderful, especially the toy store. All around town, the children loved Frosty that day, while the warm, wintry sun shone down. Soon they came to a corner, and around the corner came a warm gust of wind. Off went Frosty's hat, and away went Frosty after. Then tweet sang the traffic cock's loud whistle. The children could not follow Frosty because traffic was steaming by. Buses and trucks and cars. Tweet went the traffic cop's whistle again. The crossing stood empty, but there was no sign of Frosty. Only his top hat rolled down the street all by itself in the melting snow. "Officer," Sally cried, "where has Frosty the Snowman gone?" "Oh," said the police officer, "Frosty, the snowman has gone away where all snowmen go on sunny days. But he'll be back at your bidding and call whenever great heaps of snowflakes fall. And he will."
Claire Calvert, and I'm reading Mouse's First Christmas by Lauren Thompson. "'Twas a night still and starry, and all through the house not a creature was stirring. Just one little mouse. Mouse was peeking all around to see what good things could be found. Up on the table, Mouse found something sweet and sparkly. It was a cookie and something warm and milky. It was hot cocoa and something cool and sticky. It was a candy cane. Next to the window, Mouse found something jingly and glinty. It was a jingle bell and something bright and flickery. It was a candle and something fun. fine and silvery. It was an angel. High on the mantel, Mouse found something soft and velvety. It was a stocking and something white and floaty. It was a snow globe and something twinkly and trilly. It was a music box. Then there in the corner, Mouse found something tall and prickly. It was a tree and something boxy and ribbony. Lots and lots of them. Presents. Then Mouse found someone whiskery and jolly. It was Santa Claus. And Santa whispered, "'Tis your very first Christmas, and all through the house, no one is loved more than you, little mouse." The end.
Hello, I'm Damien Castile. I'm in third grade, and I'm going to read The Littlest Elf, written by Brandy Daugherty. It was a Christmas time, and Oliver was excited. This year, he would discover his special job at one of Santa's workshops. He just needed to visit each shop to see which one was a right fit. At the toy workshop where his mom worked, Oliver tried to make cuddly teddy bears, but he got lost in the huge stuffing pile. Oliver, an elf, asked. Oliver's mom said, "I think you're too little for this toy workshop. Why don't you try helping your dad at the bicycle workshop instead?" So Oliver went to Santa's bicycle workshop. "I'm ready to help," he said. Oliver watched as the elves added wheels and seats and handlebars and bells. But the tools were very big for Oliver's little hands. "Maybe bacon is your special job," Oliver's dad told him. "You should visit your brother at the bakery next." Off Oliver went to the bakery. These elves made sugar plum cookies and candy cane squares, but when Oliver tried to stir the cookie dough, "Oliver, look out," one of the elves shouted. He fell into the giant mixing bowl. "Sorry, Ollie," his brother said. "You're too little for the bakery. Maybe your special job at the bookmaker shop." Oliver arrived at the last of Santa's workshop where his sister worked. The bookmakers there wrote the amazing stories and drew wonderful pictures. "Can I help?" Oliver asked. "Of course," the elves replied. But the ink pot was kind of tough to reach. At the stack of paper was very tall. "Oh, Ollie," his sister cried. Bookmaking was harder and messier than it looked. Oliver wandered through the North Pole. He was sad. Oliver knew where had to be one special job he could do, even if he was little. Then he heard the sound of hooves clattering at the stables inside of the herd. Reindeer had gathered to meet Dot, the new reindeer. She was little, just like Oliver. Dot was very excited to help fly Santa's sleigh. She practiced for the big night by jumping and hopping and leaping, but she could not fly. The reindeer's mama gave her a gentle kiss. Dot was still too little. Dot looked very sad. Oliver wanted to cheer her up. He dug in his pockets to find a treat for Dot, but instead he found little trinkets from each workshop he had visited. Just then, he had an idea. Oliver and Dot used the tiny treasures to make the ornaments, cards for fun and fun decorations for all the hard-working elves in the village. The littlest elf and the littlest reindeer filled a sleigh with their Christmas treats. They delivered the presents to all the workshops. The elves loved their special gifts. Soon Santa came to see what was all the fuss about. He watched as Oliver and Dot made everyone smile. Suddenly Santa said, "An idea, Oliver and Dot," he said. with your big hearts and great Christmas cheer, why don't you be my very important helpers this year? Oliver and Dot had found their special jobs after all, but more important, they had each found a special friend.
Hi, I'm Gunnar, and we're going to read The Gingerbread Kid Goes to School by Joan Hulop. One day, the principal baked the gingerbread kid. He took it to his lunchbox. Oh no, something was missing. The principal put on two candy eyes. Suddenly, the gingerbread kid winked. He did a flip off the desk, and he did a cartwheel on the floor, and he ran away. Come back, the principal shouted. The principal ran after the gingerbread kid. The gingerbread kid laughed and shouted, I'm the gingerbread kid. I'm as fast as I can be. You can run, 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 but you can't catch me. The gingerbread kid ran into the playground. He kicked the ball over the fence. Come back, shouted two gym coaches. Then they ran after him. The gingerbread kid laughed and shouted, I'm the gingerbread kid. I'm as fast as I can be. You can run, 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 but you can't catch me. The gingerbread kid ran into the lunchroom. He hopped in the beans and the rice. Come back, shouted the three lunch ladies. They dropped their spoons and ran after him. The gingerbread kid laughed and shouted, I'm the gingerbread kid. I'm as fast as I can be. You can run, 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 but you can't catch me. The gingerbread kid ran by four teachers in the hall. He spilled their jars of paint. Come back, they shouted. Then they ran after him. The gingerbread kid laughed and shouted, I'm the gingerbread kid. I'm as fast as I can be. You can run, 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 but you can't catch me. The gingerbread kid ran into the library. He jumped on the boy's desk. Chase me, said the gingerbread kid. The boy kept reading. Chase me, shouted the gingerbread kid. The boy shook his head. What kind of kid wants to read? Asked the gingerbread kid. A smart kid, said the boy. Not as smart as me, said the gingerbread kid. I ran away from the principal, two gym coaches, three lunch ladies, and four teachers. I can run away from you, too. No, you can't, said the boy. Here are five reasons why. The boy made a fist. One by one, he held up his fingers. One, two, three, four, five. Then he grabbed the gingerbread kid. Gotcha, the boy said. Like magic, the gingerbread kid turned into a cookie again. Suddenly, everyone ran to the library. The four teachers bumped into the three lunch ladies. The three lunch ladies bumped into the gym coaches. The two gym coaches bumped into the principal. And the principal bumped into the boy. The gingerbread kid cookie went right out the window. And right outside, the smart boy's smart dog was waiting. Chomp, chomp.
My name is Jaden Rowe, and I'm going to be reading Who is Coming to Our House? Who is coming to our house? Someone says mouse. Megrim says pig. I will, but I side the rig. We must clean, says lamb. Dust the beam, says ram. Who is coming to our house? Someone says mouse. Sweep the earth, says chick. Stack the hay, says goose, and quick. Spin new webs, says spider. I will line the crib with eider. who is coming to our house? Someone says mouse. Someone's coming from afar. I will nose the door ajar. But it is dark, says cat. They will never come, says rat. I will lay an egg, says hen. I will spread my tail for them. Who is coming to our house? Mary and Joseph, whispers mouse. Welcome, welcome to our house. The end.
My name is Cole Jewett, and I'm going to read The Night Before Christmas by Clement Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, it hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just shelled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Way to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon of the breast of the new-fallen snow gave lustre of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. With an old little old driver and so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and whistled and shouted and called their by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of a wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dryly as that before, the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with a an obstacle mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the cursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof, the prancing and pawing on each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning round, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed in all fur from his head to his foot, all his clothes were tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler open his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples all merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn open like a bow, and his beard of his chin was white as the snow. The stump of his pipe he held tight in his teeth as he smoking and circled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him too in spite myself. A wink of eye and twist of a head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, and then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and all to good night."
I'm Nikki Wolvik, and today I'm going to be reading Llama Llama Holiday Drama by Anna Dudney. Llama Llama Holidays, jingle music, lights ablaze. sparkly candles, yummy bread, dress-up clothes, and green and red. How long till that special date? Only 15 more shopping days. Llama Llama has to wait. Llama Llama holidays, ads and signs and store displays. Only 12 more shopping days. Fluffy snow and funny elves, goodies piled high on shelves. Just how many days ago, Llama Llama wants to know. Time to buy and search the shop. Mama carries llama drops. Buy a friend a rubber duck, pirate ship, or tractor truck, wooden block, or building set. What will Llama Llama get? Holiday sale. Llama Llama holidays, hustle bustle, cooking craze, measure sugar, roll the dough, 10 more batches left to go. How many more days again? The special day is coming when? Take the cookies out to cool. Frost a great big batch for school. Add some sprinkles, almost done. Teacher gets the fancy one. No more cookies left to bake. Llama Llama tummy ache. School has dreidels, songs, and bells. Big red ribbons, woodsy smells. Draw a snowman, make a star, decorate a candle jar. Are there many days to go? Llama Llama time is going slow. Mama needs a present, too. Get some sparkles, sticks, and glue. Roll it up and wrap it how. Llama wants to give it now. Llama Llama holidays. Unpack stockings. Unwrap trays. Shiny silver, fancy plates. Llama Llama waits, waits, waits. Cut out snowflakes. Tape them up. Pour some eggnog in a cup. Oops, it's yucky on the floor. Llama Llama waits some more. Stringing lights is not much fun. How come Mama isn't done? Is the big day coming soon? Llama Llama starts to swoon. All is waiting for one day. Time for presents right away. Too much music, too much fluff. Too much making, too much stuff. Too much everything for Llama. Llama Llama holodrama! Come and listen, little Llama. Have a cuddle with your mama. Sometimes we should take a rest and hold the ones we love best. Wishing, waiting, wanting things, we forget what this time brings. Gifts are nice, but there's another. The true gift is we have each other. Llama Llama, warm and snug, gives a kiss and gets a hug. Snuggles close with Mama Llama. Happy holidays for Llama.
Hi, my name is Helena Nelson, and I'm a first grader at the Marine Santa Claus. It says it's by Cooper Edens. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and in our duplex, the children were plugged into special effects. While pizza with sausage and peppers they downed, with soda plus popcorn and chips by the pound. Then while all the children the TV were viewing, the sound from the kitchen was purposeful chewing. As Elwood with clam cakes and I with chopped eel had just settled down to our microwave meal, when all of a sudden not the sound of reindeers but the mooing of Santa Claus came to our ears. So we ran to the windows and opened the shutters. We threw up the blinds to the sky full of udders. As lovely as angels, the family agreed, and Elwood, so helpful, named each by its breed. Look, here's a Holstein, a brown Swiss, a Jersey, and here comes a Hereford. And Angus and Gersney. And so they did circle our satellite dish to fulfill for dear Elwood an old Christmas wish that the cows would return as they had in its youth and share with his family their goodness and truth. When over the intercom we heard the roofs, the tap dancing, the clatter of Santa Claus hoofs. "It's unreal," we exclaimed. "It's so strange, it's so weird." Down the chimney, Santa Claus promptly appeared. Now light as a feather, they floated around over TV and pizza with nary a sound. Then, after a while, they had floated enough and touched down as gently as dandelion fluff. Their eyes, like Liz Taylor's, were dewy and clear. Their lips, like Liz Taylor's, so rosy and dear. As they smiled at us, all from their warm inner glow, and each of their tails was tied up with a bow. They were good, they were warm, they were wise, and amen. Just as Elwood had wished, they had found him again. Then they sang us some carols, all limpid and light, like Adeste Fidelis and O Holy Night. Then O Holstein presented a beautiful tree while spellbound we sat on Aunt Maxie's city. As we gazed at the ornaments, dazzling and rare, a spirit of peace and goodwill filled the air. There were bundles of something thrown over their backs. We all tried to guess what might be in those sacks. Maybe red hots or gumballs or licorice whips. Maybe go-go guns or squirt guns or skateboard or alien chips. Then each of the cows put a sack down before us, our oohs and our ahs, then ran out in a chorus. As we opened the sacks, it was not as we'd thought. It was baseballs and bats, gloves and caps that they brought. Then we traced a great diamond outside in the snow and began with the cows to hit and run, catch and throw. So we played through the night, through each bright moonlight inning, till the sun showed its face. Christmas Day was beginning.
My name is Robin Savo, and I'm going to be reading The Christmas Blizzard, written by Helen Keatman. Little Sissy McNabb ran up to Maynard Jenkins when he came into the McNabb General Store. "Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Jenkins," she cried. "The weatherman says we're going to have a blizzard tonight." "Humph," said the old man. "That whippersnapper of a weatherman doesn't know a blizzard if it tipped its hat and introduced itself. The blizzard of 22. Now that was a blizzard to remember." "How much did it snow?" Sissy asked. The old man settled on a chair and warmed his hands over the stove. "Don't be all fired, anxious girl," he replied. "Learning history takes time." "That year the weather was crazy. It was so cold when my pappy dropped his sledgehammer, it shattered like glass and the ground cracked, too. And pretty deep. Ellie Cogwell said she could
see clear through China. Of course, Ellie was always one for exaggerating. The weather was affecting other places, too. Up at the North Pole, why, it was warm as Grandma's gravy. Palm trees were sprouting right and left. It was so hot. Santa's elves weren't in the mood to make toys. So Santa packed up and moved his whole workshop, elves, reindeer, and all. He looked for the coldest spot in the world and ended up settling right here. Said it felt more like the North Pole than the North Pole did. Turned out we almost missed Christmas that year. Cold as it was, it had been as dry as corn shucks since August. Not a cloud in the sky for months. No rain, no sleet, no snow, not a flake. One day in October, I slipped by Santa's place and peeked in the window to see if he was making the shiny red sleigh I had wanted. But Santa and his elves weren't doing anything. Turned out the elves needed more than cold weather to make toys for Christmas. They needed snow, and plenty of it. I looked up at the sky, and what did I see but blue? If we were going to have Christmas at all, I knew I had to do something, and quick. I went to a shack outside of town by Hatcher's Pond, where old Miss Pendersnarf lived. It was rumored that she could cast spells. I knocked on the door and it creaked open. Miss Pendersnarf seemed old enough to be Santa's granny. Her hair was piled up like a rat's nest, and she was so squinty-eyed, I couldn't even tell sure if she had eyeballs or not. She looked awful scary.
"What is it, boy?" she croaked.
I gathered my courage and told her why we needed snow. Miss Pendersnarf agreed. She pulled bottles of dried herbs off the shelf and stirred them together in a bowl. She lit a match and the herbs flared up, then fizzed and smoked. Miss Pendersnarf smiled and Snaggletooth grin. "There's gone be a strong wind. That's all you need, boy. Nature will do the rest." I was halfway home when the wind whipped up. Woo wee, did that spell work great, and lifted me and blew me all the rest of the way. That night the wind howled and whistled, got stronger by the hour. By morning, frozen trees had been shattered into firewood, blown into stacks. By afternoon, rain clouds had swept all the way from Seattle, Washington, and then, as suddenly as the wind had begun, it stopped. Those Seattle clouds were bursting with moisture. I figured it would start snowing right away. Santa and his elves must have thought so, too, because they perked up and started cranking out the toys. But nature wasn't through with us, yes. Those clouds looked heavy, but they didn't do a blessed thing. Later in the dead of night, I heard a loud crash, felt like an earthquake, and threw me out of bed. And the racket sounded louder than one of those newfangled jet aeroplanes. Come to find out, the clouds had froze solid, crashing right to the ground. One of them even squashed the roof of Jed McDonald's barn. It exploded, scattered cows as far as 4 miles away, and some up in trees to boot. Jed sure had a hard time collecting those cows. You should have seen this town, girl. Dark, lumpy, frozen clouds were lying all over the ground, and they're as slippery as a weasel in a grease pit, too. It was so slippery, Santa's reindeer couldn't be able to get off the ground to deliver toys. I had work to do. I decided to force those clouds back up in the sky, so I lit stacks of firewood. Everyone pitched in health. Wasn't long before those clouds started thawing out, and when they rose back up into the sky, they where they belonged. They kept the fires going round the clock till it finally got warm enough to snow. And by George, it snowed like there was no tomorrow. Flakes as big as dinner plates, flakes as fat as turnips, flakes rounder than Thanksgiving turkey, flakes fluffier than a long-haired barn cat. Why, those Seattle clouds snowed a blizzard for 2 whole weeks. By the time the storm had ended, houses were covered. The doors were snowed shut. So we climbed out the chimney and started shoveling. We finished 2 days later, just in time to see the elves load Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. Those elves must have worked overtime because I never seen so many toys. On Christmas morning, I woke up, and there under my Christmas tree was a red sled I'd asked for. Old Miss Pendersnarf got a sled, too, and we had a fine time racing down Dead Man's Hill. We sledded all spring into the summer. Miss Pendersnarf was one of the bodacious sledders. It was because of her that the town got its name. We had a vote to change it from Waterville to Blizzard because of the storm. On the founder day, Mayor Butterfrump was making a dedication speech. When Miss Pendersnarf came barreling down Dead Man's Hill, she crashed through the fancy new sign, smashing the B in Blizzard to smithereens. The mayor stayed cool as ice cream without blinking an eye. Mayor Butterfrump shouted, "Welcome to Lizard, Indiana." And that's been the name ever since. Maynard winked at Sissy. "I reckon you learned enough history for one day, girl. I'm going home to dust off my old sled and oil it up. If we get that pitch of snow your weatherman predicts, I might just even test it out." Maynard waves and disappears through the door. "See you tomorrow, Sissy, up on Dead Man's Hill."
My name is Rosie Monica, and I'm reading Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Robert L. May. It was the day before Christmas, and all through the hills, the reindeer were playing, enjoying the spills of skating and coasting and climbing the willows and hopscotch and leapfrog protected by pillows, while every so often they stopped to call names and at one little deer not allowed in their games. "Ha, ha, look at Rudolph, his nose is a sight. It's as red as a beet, twice as big, twice as bright." While Rudolph just wept, what else could he do? He knew that the things they were saying were true. Where most reindeer's noses are brownish and tiny, poor Rudolph's was red, very large, and quite shiny. In daylight it dazzled, the picture shows that. At nighttime it glowed like the eyes of a cat. And putting dirt on it just made it look muddy. Oh boy, was he mad when they nicknamed him Ruddy. Although he was lonesome, he always was good, obeying his parents as good reindeer should. That's why on this day, Rudolph almost felt playful. He hoped that from Santa, soon driving his sleigh full of presents and candy and dollies and toys for good little animals, good girls and boys, he'd get just as much, and this is what pleased him, as the happier, handsomer reindeer who teased him. So as the night and a fog hid the world like a hood, he went to bed hopeful. He knew he'd be good. While way, way up north, on the same foggy night, old Santa was packing his sleigh for its flight. "This fog," he complained, "will be hard to get through." He shook his head around, and his tummy shook too. Without any stars or a moon as our compass, this extra dark night is quite likely to swamp us. To keep from collisions, we'll have to fly slow. To keep our direction, we'll have to fly low. We'll steer by street lamps and houses tonight in order to finish before it gets light. Just think how the boys' and girls' face would be shaken if we didn't reach him before they awaken. Come Dasher, come Dancer, come Prancer and Vixen, come Comet, come Cupid, come Donner and Blitzen. Be quick with your suppers, get hitched in a hurry. You too will find a fog and a delay and a worry. And Santa was right, as he usually is. The fog was as thick as a soda's white fizz. Just not getting lost needed all Santa's skill, with street signs and numbers more difficult still. He tangled in treetops again and again, and barely missed hitting a tri-motored plane. He still made good speed, with much twisting and turning, as long as the street lamps and house lights are burning. At each house, first noting the people who live there, he'd quickly select the right presents to give there. By midnight, however, the last light had fled. For even big people have then gone to bed. Because it might wake them, a match was denied him. Oh my, how he wished for just one star to guide him. Through dark streets and houses, old Santa fared poorly. He now picked the presents more slowly, less surely. He really was worried, for what would he do if folks started waking before he was through? The air was still foggy, the night dark and drear, when Santa arrived at the home of the deer. A ledge that he tripped on while sick in the chimney gave Santa a spill and a painfully skinned knee. The room he came down in was blacker than ink. He went for a chair and then found it a sink. The first reindeer bedroom was so very black, he tripped on the rug and fell flat on his back. So dark that he had to move close to the bed and squint very hard at the sleeping deer's head before he could choose the right kind of toy, a doll for a girl or a train for a boy. But all this took time and filled Santa with gloom while slowly he groped toward the next reindeer's room, the door he just opened when, to his surprise, a dim but quite definite light met his eyes. The lamp wasn't burning, the glow came instead from something that lay at the head of the bed. And there lay, but wait now, what would you suppose? The glowing, you guessed it was Rudolph's red nose. So this room was easy, this one little night. Let Santa pick quickly the gifts that were right. How happy he was till he went out the door. The rest of the house was as black as before. So black that it made every step a dark mystery. And then came the greatest idea in all history. He went back to Rudolph and started to shake him, of course very gently, in order to wake him. And Rudolph could scarcely believe his own eyes. You just can't imagine his joy and surprise at seeing who stood there so real and so near while telling the tale we've already told here. Poor Santa's sad tale of distress and delay, the fog and the darkness and losing the way, the horrible fear that some children might awaken before his complete Christmas trip had been taken. And you, he told Rudolph, may yet save the day. Your wonderful forehead may yet pave the way. For a wonderful triumph it actually might. Old Santa, you noticed, was extra polite to Rudolph regarding his wonderful forehead. To call it a big, shiny nose would sound horrid. I need you, said Santa, to help me tonight, to lead all my dear on the rest of our flight. And Rudolph broke out into such a big grin, it almost connected his ears and his chin. A note for his folks, he dashed off in a hurry. I've gone to help Santa, he wrote. Do not worry, said Santa. My sleigh I'll bring down to the lawn. You'd stick in the chimney, and flash, he was gone. So Rudolph pranced out through the door, very gay, and took his proud place at the head of the sleigh. The rest of the night, well, what would you guess? Old Santa's idea was a brilliant success, and brilliant was almost no word for the way that Rudolph directed the deer and the sleigh. In spite of the fog, they flew quickly and low, and made such good use of the wonderful glow from Rudolph's forehead at each intersection that not even once did they lose their directions. While as for the houses and streets with a sign on them, they merely flew close so that Rudolph could shine on them, to tell who lived there, to tell who lived where, and just what to give whom. They'd fly by each window and peek in the room. Old Santa knew always which children were good and minded their parents and ate as they should. So Santa selected the gift that was right, while Rudolph's forehead gave just enough light. It all went so fast, but before it was day, the very last present was given away. The very last stocking was filled to the top, just as the sun was preparing to pop. This sun woke the reindeer in Rudolph's hometown. They found the short message that he'd written down, then gathered outside to await his return. And were they excited, astonished to learn that Rudolph, the ugliest deer of them all, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, bashful and small, the funny-faced fellow they always called names and practically never allowed in their games, was now to be envied by all far and near, for no greater honor can come to a deer than riding with Santa and guiding his sleigh, the number one job on the number one day. The sleigh and its reindeer soon came into view, and Rudolph still led them as downward they flew. Oh boy, was he proud as he came to a landing right where his handsomer playmates were standing. These bad deer who used to do nothing but tease him would now have done anything only to please him. They felt even sorry they had been bad, when Santa said, "Rudolph, I never have had a deer quite so brave or so brilliant as you at fighting black fog and at guiding me through. But you last night's journey was actually bossed. Without you, I'm certain we'd all have been lost. I hope you'll continue to keep us from grief on future dark trips as Commander-in-Chief." But Rudolph just blushed from his head to his toes until his whole fur was as red as his nose. The crowd first applauded, then started to screech, "Hooray for Rudolph, and we want a speech." But Rudolph was bashful despite being a hero and tired. His sleep on the trip totaled zero, so that's why his speech was just brief and not bright. "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And that's why, whenever it's foggy and gray, it's Rudolph the Red Nose who's guides Santa's sleigh. Be listening this Christmas, but don't make a peep, because that late at night, children should be asleep. The very first sound that you hear on the roof, provided there's fog, will be Rudolph's small hoof. And soon after that, if you're still as a mouse, you may hear a swish as he flies round the house and gives enough light to give Santa a view of you and your room, and when they're all through, you may hear them call as they drive out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
My name is Tristan, and I am reading Christmas Trolls by Jan Brett. I'm Trivia. On the day my brother Sammy and I went to our neighbor's farm to pick out a Christmas tree, was the beginning of the most unforgettable Christmas I ever had. As we went home through the forest with a perfect tree packed on the sleigh, Tuffy started sniffing and barking. I couldn't see anything, but I felt sure someone was watching. When we arrived home, we forgot all about the forest. Mom and Dad had brought our boxes of ornaments to decorate the tree. Sammy and I put overgreen wreaths, mistletoe, and holly all around the house. We had already wrapped our presents and hid them away for Christmas morning. Then some of our Christmas decorations started to disappear. I didn't notice until Dad asked if we moved the trinket box he had hid in for Mom. I shivered because Mom had asked me the same thing about the mittens she had knitted for Dad. Sammy and I looked in all the usual hiding places, but we couldn't find them. Tuffy was acting strange, too. He sniffed and barked and ran around in circles as if he were looking for something. Then a few days before Christmas, a treetop angle was gone. What would be next? I stared, carrying my favorite red horse everywhere. Early the next morning when I went to feed Arnie, I saw something flying across the snow. It was our Christmas pudding. I harnessed Arnie, bells and all, and raced after it into the forest. As I got closer, I could see that our pudding was being carried along, pincushioned to the top of a hedgehog. I didn't know what to do, so I yelled, "Stop, come back." But it didn't stop until I reached the bottom of four fir trees. The hedgehog put the pudding down and scampered off. Just then, the tree started rocking back and forth. Suddenly, a funny-looking ladder dropped down from above, and two trolls scurried down, pouncing on the pudding before I could even move. They pulled it back and forth as they went up the ladder, squabbling all the way to the top. I climbed right up after them and looked inside. There on the floor of their troll house were all the Christmas things in a heap. The trolls were grabbing at them, each one wanting what the other one had. "Hey, trolls," I called. "Those are our Christmas things." The trolls dove into one pile, clutching our gifts. "Mine," they clamored. "Mine, mine." I looked at them and had to smile. Their shirt tails were hanging out. Their pants were torn and patched. Their cheeks were bright red, and their hair was standing straight up from all the pulling and tugging at each other. "Christmas," they wailed. "We want Christmas." "You want Christmas?" I asked, puzzled. "Yes," they shouted, "give us Christmas." "Well, you can't just take Christmas," I said. They shuffled their feet. "Want Christmas," they said, sounding miserable. "Okay, you can have Christmas, but first, what are your names?" "Mig," said one. "Tig," said the other. I looked around their messy hut. "Mig, Tig, let's begin by getting your house ready for Christmas." I started to straighten up and put things away. They began to help. "Nice," I said. "When we had finished, now let's make our house look like Christmas." We went outside and gathered evergreens, berries, and pine cones. "Now we need a Christmas tree," I told them. "That's easy. You live in trees, so you can have four trees instead of just one, if you want to." "Christmas trees," they shouted, jumping up and down, and we decorated each of the trees that held up the troll's house. Tig and Mig had a small setback on the way back to the hut. I knew I had some more explaining to do. "When I first got there, you were snatching things for yourselves and acting really grumpy. Try playing together and having some fun." "Fun?" they asked. I showed them how to jump rope. I told them how much I liked their tail knots and earrings. They smiled shyly and stared, tucking in their shirt tails. "Nice hair, pretty belt," they said, grinning at me, and they taught me a little troll dance. They were catching on. "Now, if you really want Christmas, you must be generous with each other. If you do that, you will have Christmas right here in your troll house." The trolls cocked their heads and squinted. They were trying hard to understand how they pleaded. I felt my head, my red horse in my pocket. I knew I had to show them, so I took it out and gave it to them. "This is for you." The trolls squealed and jumped up and down with glee. They took turns passing my horse back and forth, happily playing with it together. It was time for me to go home. On Christmas morning, Sammy and I ran downstairs to find our tree alight with candles and our stockings filled. We opened our presents in front of the fire, but this Christmas was full of surprise. I heard a bumping and a scratching noise. Tuffy barked. I listened and followed the sounds. Outside on the doorstep was a Christmas present. I unwrapped it and found a wild and wonderful troll horse. "Tig and Mig," I exclaimed when I held it. I knew for sure that the trolls understood Christmas, and I knew that this was the best Christmas ever.
Hi, I'm Victory Johansson, and I'm gonna read That's Not Santa. December 24. It is the day before Christmas. Santa's sleigh is filled with toys. Everything is ready for Santa's trip, but where is Santa? Santa is sleeping. Time to get up. Time to put on my red suit, he says. Santa looks for his red suit. Santa looks everywhere. Have you seen my red suit? Santa asks the elves. Have you seen my red suit? Santa asks the reindeer. No one has seen Santa's red suit. No red suit. No Christmas. No Christmas! Wait, I have an idea. Santa goes upstairs. How's this? Santa looks like a cowboy. Oh no, you can't go out like that. That's not Santa. Wait, I'll be right back. How about this? Santa looks like a pirate. Or this, Santa looks like a clown. Is this okay? Santa looks like a fire chief. What do you think? Santa looks like a baseball player. No, that's not Santa. Wait, I'll be right back. This is it. Off I go. No, you can't go out in your long underwear. That's not Santa. Mrs. Claus comes home. You can't go out that way. You will catch a cold. But he can't find his red suit. Red suit. Santa, I want you to open your Christmas present right now. A new red suit. I'll put it right on now. Thank you. Now that's Santa. It's getting late. We have to go. Ho, ho, ho. I'm going with you. I have a red suit too, said Mrs. Claus. Ho, ho, ho. This Christmas will be twice as much fun.